Thank the Lord again for being here tonight. Desire your prayers as we look into the Word for a little bit. Sounds like, after listening to the special songs that were sung tonight, that salvation does make a change in us, doesn't it? And the more that we know about it, the more we want to know about it. The more that we desire a closer relationship with the Lord, to understand His ways and to know Him better. And from the song that Sister Zola sang, it sounds like when you get to know the Lord, it even changes your attitude. Sometimes those tudes get us in trouble, those attitudes. But I'm thankful tonight that He's able to help us with those things too. I've been talking about this week, about things that are essential to you and I making heaven. Tonight I want to speak on another one. If you would turn with us in your Bibles, the 18th chapter of Luke. It says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I'd like to talk tonight, with the help of the Lord, thank you, brother, about praying. Only I want to talk about praying deeply. Every one of us know how to pray. But do we know how to pray? Do we understand the value of what we have of prayer? The value of prayer. Have you ever heard someone say, after hearing someone's need, say, "Well, brother or sister, I don't know what else to do, but I'll pray for you." Folks, that's everything that we can do. It is an essential of you and I's relationship with God that we know how to pray, and pray deeply. Not just say our prayers, but I'd like to give us some things to think about tonight in considering your prayer life. A prayer life was very valuable to Daniel. Whenever he knew that they had made this challenge against him and against his God, he had a prayer life, didn't he? And he still went up there and he opened the window and he prayed 3 times a day. Prayer was valuable to him. And I hope that it's valuable to us. I hope we understand, folks, it's an opportunity for us to give communication to the Lord. But sometimes where we fail and where we struggle in our walk with the Lord is we need to give the Lord opportunity to speak to us. It isn't just a one-way street here, folks. As we talk to the Lord, we need to take time to give the Lord an opportunity to speak to you and I. Here was a woman that had a problem. She had a need, and she knew this man could help take care of this need. She went to him many times. He wouldn't do anything about it because he didn't have any fear of God. He didn't have any fear of man. It wasn't anyone that intimidated this fellow. But because of her continual coming, because she came continually and continually and basically wearing him out, and he said, because I will avenge her unless she weary me. It's going to wear me out. This keep coming wanting the same thing, the same thing. Do you know how to importune in prayer? Do you know how to really get a hold of God? Jesus told us in one place to ask and ye shall receive. And then he said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I've been challenging my little congregation back home, folks. When's the last time that you fasted and prayed? When's the last time you were willing to set aside a day or two and set aside the food and just get in communion with the Lord and make your petition to God, bombarding heaven, if you will, laying up your burdens for the needs that you and I have? We have needs, don't we? I noticed the opening song that we sang tonight. And, what was it, 179? What a friend we have in Jesus. And it talked about what needless pain we bear, all because we don't carry everything. Do we really carry everything? And how do we prostrate ourselves before God tonight? How do we do we come with not just a mind and go, well, I'll go pray, but do we go and pray with a heart burden and a heart desire? I want to tell you tonight, before I'm finished, I hope we can understand that it even goes deeper than the heart. Our petitions to the Lord need to come from the very depths of our souls. The very need of the concerns that you and I have for the troubles of the world that we are living in, for the troubles of our children, for the troubles of our own souls and the things that we have to deal with in life. Folks, it is important how we come to the Lord and how we deal with our situation in life. Prayer is essential, is an essential part of our service to God. And we need to have a good prayer life. You ever heard the saying, prayer changes things? You know why prayer will change things? Prayer will only change things for you whenever you get the change. Whenever we make the change. A lot of times we look on the situation, if they would just do this, if they would just do that, if that would just happen, if the Lord would just make this happen over here. Folks, many times, most of the time, it's me, I, myself, that needs to make the change. So God can really hear and answer prayer. You and I need the transformation in our life. And prayer, there's power in prayer. There's so much that we can receive when we go before the Lord and commune with Him, communicate with Him, telling Him about our needs and telling Him about our burdens. You know, most of us have probably been down pretty sick in our lives. Down there to the place where it seems like, have you ever been to the place where you've been so afflicted or in such a sickness where you didn't feel like you could even pray? I was there the first month of this year. My wife and I were very sick. And it was just difficult to pray. The time you need to pray is sometimes the hardest time to pray. Because folks, your body, your mind, and your spirit need constant daily nourishment. And we need to go before the Lord and we need to pray. But we need to listen too. We need to listen. And I think it's important that we listen tonight. Let's look at a scripture now. This woman here, she got what she wanted because she wouldn't let up. She wouldn't give up. Sometimes I think we take our petitions before the Lord. And we go away and say, well, it didn't work out, so the Lord didn't hear our prayers. You ever been there? Folks, sometimes it didn't work out because the Lord answered our prayers. We just didn't want to hear what He had to say. We were listening to what He had to say. It's important to hear. God said here, shall He not avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with Him? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe your prayers? Do you believe when you go to God? Do you believe He hears prayer? Prayer to the throne of grace, folks, is interceded for you and I by the Spirit of God, isn't it? The Holy Spirit makes intercession for you and I in groanings that cannot even be uttered. Have you ever gone to prayer and you really can't even find the words? The heart is aching so deeply. And the problem is so great and it's so hard to bear. And you can't find the words. Sometimes it's just tears, isn't it? Sometimes it's just tears. The Lord understands the tears too. He takes those tears. He bottles them up. Folks, God looks down upon the heart tonight. It tells us in, what is it, Hebrews 4 and 12, somewhere in there, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, seeking, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, even down to the joints and the marrow of the bone, and He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Folks, God knows our motives. Sometimes we take things to the Lord and we make our petition to Him because we want something so bad. We're going to impose ourselves upon God, hopefully to the point where we can make Him give us whatever it is we want. You say, well, that sounds a little strong, Brother Larry. What about Balaam? Balaam wanted something, didn't he? Whenever he went before the Lord and made his petition and built his altar, they had brought him a bunch of goodies, a bunch of things that he desired and that he wanted. And he went back and the Lord saw what was in his heart. He saw what was in his heart. He told him, no, you cannot go and curse my people. But he saw what was in his heart. And he went away and he came. They offered him some more goodies. He came back again and he made his petition and the Lord told him to go. But he used an animal to straighten him up, didn't he? He used an animal to get the message to him. Folks, the Lord loves us. He cares about us. He's concerned about us. But I think that we shouldn't just carelessly take our petitions to the Lord. I think we ought to respect the one that we're coming to. I think we ought to honor him. I think we ought to worship Him in our heart. The Scripture says, let our requests be made known unto Him with thanksgiving. I think we need to come to Him with thanksgiving. There is a proper way for you and I to prostrate ourselves before God and make our petitions. Is it important to you to pray? Do you find prayer is important, folks? Because it is. It's so valuable. And Jesus, after giving us this parable, He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will I find faith on the earth. Folks, tonight, I'm looking at some folks that we're going to be responsible for how we've handled what God has given us. We're going to be, it says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It wasn't given to governments. It wasn't given to countries. It was given to the saints. Jesus brought the gospel and Paul said it was the power of God unto salvation, didn't he? And it was given to the saints. And you and I are responsible for how we handle it. We're responsible for the care that we give it. We're responsible for the concern that we give it. Do you know, I believe tonight that when we get so burdened down and loaded down for the cares of others, there is a proper way that we need to come before God, realizing we're the ones in need, we're the ones in desperation, and we need His help when I call upon Him. So it would behoove me to bow before Him in the proper way and not just come, say, well, it's time to go to prayer. It's time to get a hold of God tonight. We're living in perilous times, folks. Do you know that each generation, down through time, loses something? We know that. It loses something. I look at my own children, and I think of the lives that they're living tonight. Breaks my heart. I remember years ago, my two daughters were saved, living for the Lord. I can remember their testimonies when they came to service on Wednesday night, but they're not tonight. They're out there in the world, wandering around and they're lost. My sons are too. And so, our burdens are great. Our needs are great. And folks just casually coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you see this, you see. No, I think there's a proper way that we can entreat our Lord to have mercy on us. Each generation has lost some things. And I look at the generation that we have raised, us older ones here tonight. And how is their faith? What do they believe? Folks, there's so much things out there in the world today that people are believing. I find it to be totally, I don't even understand their thought process and how they think what they're thinking and where they're even coming from. Each generation has lost some things. I was in a home one day, and the individual asked us, wife and I, to come over and visit. We went over to visit, and when we got there, they said, "I'm sorry, but something just came up, and I got to run out. Me and my buddy's going to pick up a refrigerator, but I'll be right back." So I said, "Okay." He had the little children there, so we sat there with the children while they were gone, and he left the television on, right there in the room that we were sitting in. Not one of those, but one of these things. And so I asked my wife, I said, do you see any of those remotes over there? She said, "Yeah, there's two or three of them." So I got the remotes and push button, and nothing would turn off. So I went up there and I looked under the thing under the TV there, and there's a little box that said power. So I pushed it and it went off. So thank the Lord. I don't want to be sitting in front of that thing. And when they came back, I don't know, I just felt so impressed. I just kind of let them know. I said, "You see that thing right there? He's a young man." I said, "You bring that here in your home. You set your children in front of it. You use it for a babysitter sometimes with all the Disney programs and cartoons and things like that. But I said, have you ever stopped and really looked at what you're looking at? Do you see the filth that comes over those things?" Folks, we're living in a perilous time, Paul said. And it's a dangerous time. You see the filth, I said, the sex, the drinking, the drugs, and the homosexuality that is portrayed over that thing. And you bring it right in your living room and you call that entertainment. That's what's happening today, isn't it? Oh, but you know, saints, if we're not careful, we'll get desensitized.
Yes.
And we'll get to accepting these kind of things. Say, "Well, that's the way it is." Yes, it is the way it is. But folks, for me, it's a call to prayer. It's a call. That's what we have. That's what God's given us. The right and the ability to come to the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need, and we're needy. We're needy. Spirits been turned loose in this country and this world today, and every time I told them, every time you turn that thing on and that filth comes out of there, and I said, even the sports, it's got to get rougher and meaner all the time, and everything else, the drinking and all the things that are shown on that thing, I said, it's just got to get worse and worse all the time in order to satisfy the animalistic appetites that our generation has been brought under today. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but folks, this is the truth.
Amen.
This is the truth. There's a need of prayer. There's a need of importuning prayer. Because you have children and I have children and our grandchildren coming up the same way. Involved with those things that are out there in the world today. Involved with the same thing. And don't realize that the enemy is going to bring them under and cause them to do things that will destroy their soul and sit back and laugh at them. And they won't even realize it. Why is it that we have so much mental health issues today? Why is it? What are people feasting on? What are they watching? What kind of games are they playing? You know, we have accepted things, and we better really be careful. Because we're responsible to hold the truth. We're responsible to hold the true position. And the people out there are feasting on things that it's affecting their minds. They're doing evil things. They're doing wicked things. And they don't realize even why they're doing it. They call it mental issues. Sometimes it's just plain devil possession. Devil taking over the mind, taking over the spirit. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, prayer is essential. You and I have much to pray about. But I think about our prayers. Sometimes, and I said I want us to think about praying deeply. We have a habit as humans. When we come together and we visit, we talk about superficial things. We talk about the weather. We talk about what happened in your life, what's going on with you, what's going on with that. Folks, if we present ourselves before the Lord that way, the depths of our consecration and the depths of our relationship with God is going to be superficial. It's just going to be above the surface. And we need to get down below the surface where God is. If we come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, I've had such a bad day today. This went wrong, that went wrong, and these people here, if they didn't treat me right, and that happened over there. Folks, that's not what we really need to be praying for. We really need to get down serious with God and tell God, you know, those things are causes, but God's interested in the root of the problem. In every one of us. He's interested in the root of the problem. Why do you act the way you do? Why do you say the things that you say? God's interested in those things. And that's the way we ought to come to God. And we ought to be serious about asking God, search me, look within me, see what my problem is, and reveal it to me that I can get victory and have power in my life and overcome these things.
Yes.
That the enemy doesn't have his way with me.
Amen.
The enemy can understand that I'm serious about what I'm trying to do here. Praying deeply. Not just telling God about your... And you're telling me anything you want. And I can take my headaches to Him. I can tell, Lord, I lost my keys. And it's okay to pray, Lord, help me to find my keys. But folks, we need deeper prayer than that. We need to get down low before the Lord. Down in humility before God. Let's look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians 10 and 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now Paul introduces the thought here of communion. Do you know what communion is? Communion with Christ. It's fellowship. It's worship. Jesus told the disciples before He went to the cross, He said, with a desire, I desire to have this supper with you. And He's talking here about the communion of the blood and of the bread, the body and the blood of Christ. Do we feel that communion when we go down before the Lord? Do we see God in a way, a God that has sacrificed Himself, given His life for us, blood pouring from His body? Do we have the communion of the blood and the body of Christ when we come down before Him and present ourselves before God? Folks, we need to get real serious about these things. We need to, I think sometimes some of us need to ask the Lord to help us to pray a little differently than we have been praying till we get a hold of God. Do you know what? If you don't have a burden for souls, if you don't have a burden for the things that I've been talking about already tonight, you need to ask God to give you one. You need to ask God to give you one. Because we need praying people. We need prayer warriors. I thank God for the older ones because they really don't get out much, can't do much, but they can be prayer warriors. And we need prayer warriors. We need people that can bombard the throne of grace in behalf of all these things that are going on today. Think about the generation, the promiscuous society that you and I live today. How did we get there? I'll tell you how we got there, folks. A breakdown of the family, isn't it? A breakdown of the home. Parents taking time to have children but not raising children. Not loving them, caring for them. Not taking the time to set them around the table at night when they come home from school and ask them and find out what went on in their life that day. Letting them know that they care for them. That's why we have dysfunctional families today. Because everybody is trying to take something from the relationship, from the home, from the family, and nobody wants to put anything into it. Folks, we can have a dysfunctional relationship with God if all we do is ask, and we never let Him tell us what He wants to tell us. A communion, a fellowship, a desire. Fellowship, the blood and the bread. We know what that means. We have those services every once in a while, not as often as we should. We know what that means to fellowship, don't we? The blood and the bread. To recognize what God did for us. Folks, that's the way we ought to approach Him. That's the way we ought to honor Him. You know what the fear of God is? I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not in our world today. There's not much fear of God left today. But you and I need to have the fear of God on our hearts. We need to respect Him and honor Him. We need to present ourselves in the proper way that He would want to avenge us. That He would want to help us. Folks, we're just asking. God does what He will. He's sovereign. I don't understand everything He does, and you don't either. He doesn't ask us what He can do and what He can't do. But He's sovereign. And He knows how to bring everything to the judgment. And that's what He's doing. Is bringing it to the judgment. Look at another scripture here. 2 Corinthians. 13th chapter. The last chapter of 2 Corinthians. The last verse. 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty and probably still am guilty of reading scriptures and get down to scripture like this and just kind of read it and go on. There's a lot of value in this verse right here that Paul's talking about. He said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we got Christ here, don't we? And it says the love of God. We got God here. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. The Bible doesn't just come out that I know of and say anything about the Trinity, but the Trinity is right here in this one verse. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit right here. And He says for you and I to have communion with the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You know, it isn't so much that God needs us, but we need Him. And I think there's a proper way, and Lord help us never forget, that there's a proper way to address ourselves before God. To present ourselves to Him. There's a proper way to do that. You see, prayer is a dialogue. And after I pray, maybe we just need to linger a while. Maybe we just need to wait and see what God has to say about our prayers. I know one thing. My spirit longs for Him tonight. My spirit desires Him in a greater way. And folks, I can't get it what I need by telling Him everything. I've got to listen to what He has to tell me. Sometimes people get up and say, well, God didn't answer prayer, and they're frustrated. And God's maybe after prayer they have thoughts, well, maybe I need to go to church more. Maybe I need to read my Bible more. Maybe I need to reach out to someone that's hurting. Maybe I need to help someone. But no, that's not what God's telling me. God's going to give me something greater than that. Folks, God wants us to take care of the little things too. He told the Pharisees that. He wants us to take care of the little things. And we need to wait and see what God wants to tell us. But we're always busy telling Him. What is that old thing I used to hear when I was a boy? A man had him a girlfriend. He said, God, he said, I want you to have your way, but give me Susie. I want you to have your way, but give me Susie. Got my eye on this. This is what I want. I'm asking you, you do what you want to do, but that's what I want. Give it to me. Folks, we can't approach God that way. I don't know how you were when you was a child. I know how my children were when they were children. They always knew that what they wanted was the best for them. And sometimes we think what we want is the best for us, don't we? It's not always so. Sometimes if the Lord would give us what we ask for, it would be a great detriment to our souls. Think about that. Because we don't really know. We get these ideas in our minds, and we think we know, but we don't always know what we really want. So we need to linger, and we need to see what God wants to tell us, and how God wants to answer our prayers. We want a yes. Lord, I want a yes. I want you to give me a yes. That doesn't always mean that that's the answer that we should get. Sometimes God says no. I asked the folks here, it's been a while back now, but I said, when's the last time that you told yourself no? When's the last time you put restraints on yourself? I know I need to do more of that. Maybe we all need to do more of that from time to time. Telling ourselves, no, it's not good for us. We don't need it. We shouldn't have it. We surely don't want anything that would hinder our relationship with God, do we? We don't want anything to hinder that. And He knows what we need. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that He knows what we need. I mean, I've heard it said, you've heard it said for all your life, God wants to get us to heaven more than we want to get there. It's kind of hard for me to grasp, really, because I really want to get there. But I believe if we'll let Him, He'll do everything He can to get us there. But I've got to rely on His wisdom. I've got to rely on His understanding. Because He told us His ways were higher than mine. And His thoughts were greater than my thoughts. He told us that. Oh, there's times, I have no doubt, that God's answering prayer, but we're just not listening. And sometimes we've seen God answer prayer mightily, haven't we? We've seen God work miracles. So we know He still answers prayer. We know that if we're in the proper attitude and the proper spirit, and we have the fear of God upon our hearts, we know we can still reach the throne of grace. I thank God for everyone that can. But everybody that says they pray every day, folks, I'm not impressed by that. I've heard a lot of people out in the world, they say, well, I pray every day. Well, that's just great. At least you're thinking about God. But God doesn't hear every prayer that's prayed. The Bible tells us that. He doesn't hear every prayer that's prayed.
Amen.
You and I have a responsibility to be in the place that God will answer our prayers. We need His help tonight. And we need His mercy. I want to look at a scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I'll begin reading at the 9th verse. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Now let's listen to what Paul says here. Our eyes haven't seen it. Our ears haven't heard it. Neither have even entered into the heart of man. Now I think Paul's talking to us. I don't think he's talking to the sinners. I think he's talking to us. Our eyes have not seen. And sometimes folks say, I've seen it all. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Sometimes when you think you've seen it all, you'll see something else. You haven't seen it all. And no matter how long you've been saved, I'm convinced you haven't experienced all of God. You haven't experienced everything He has. Because God's greater than all of that. And you can't get all of Him here on this side of eternity. But we should seek for it. We should ask for it. He said, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Folks, I've heard a lot about heaven. Jesus spoke some about heaven. He also spoke a lot about hell. But I believe heaven is a wonderful place. But I will not really know. I will not really get the value of it all until I get there.
That's right.
But I have not seen. That means we're limited, folks. We are limited. And what I need is God to open my understanding and reveal Himself to me in a greater way that I can get a hold of Him. That when I get in the depths of my burdens and the depths of my trials, that I'll see God so great that I know that He still moves mountains. And He'll do that for me. In my distresses. And in my burdens. God hath revealed unto them unto us by His Spirit. So we surely need to go to God, don't we? You know, when the Lord first gave me this little message, I said, Lord, everybody knows about prayer. Everybody's been praying for ever since they've been saved, at least. But there's a way to pray that we can pray deeply. Your eye hasn't seen and your ear heard. But God has revealed these deep things unto us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want the deep things? Not just, you know, we live in a society today of lazy people.
That's right.
We live in a society of lazy people. They live on the surface. They're not willing to put forth the effort. They're not willing to dig and get the understanding that they really need to get to the depths of what life is really all about and of what God really requires of us. But the Spirit searches the deep things. God wants to get in the deep places. You know where those places are? Those places are the places where we harbor unforgiveness. Where we harbor attitudes. He wants to get to the deep places within me. He wants to perfect me in holiness. He wants to work on me every day in that way. And He wants to reveal it. He searcheth all things. God's searching us tonight. He's searching every one of us. He's interested that you and I get off the surface and get down into the depths. What did Jesus tell the disciples when they fished all night and didn't get any fish? He said, launch out into the deep. Lord, help us to launch out into the deep. And I want us tonight to understand, let's take that in our prayer life. Let's take 5-minute prayer ain't going to get it, is it?
No.
Sometimes we got to pray for a while just to get in the attitude of prayer where we feel like the Lord, and we got the cares of life run off now. We got the enemy run off. Now we can talk to God. Now we can make our petitions to Him. Tell Him what our burdens are, the things of our hearts. Pray deeply. Not just take our symptoms to Him. But ask Him to go to the root of whatever it is that we're dealing with. Do you know I've seen people that got saved and struggled with the same things for years? I have. And not get the victory over them because they wasn't willing to ask God to come in and come into the deep recesses of the heart. He said here, let me read on, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit that was in. See, God knows. There's a spirit in man, Job said. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. That's where we get our understanding. It isn't the knowledge we gain in our schools and our colleges and places like that. I know we need that kind of education, but folks, I'm talking about the spirit of man. Who we really are, our makeup, what makes us do what we do. He said, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. You want more of God? You want to understand His ways more fully? You better go in the spirit and seek God deeply. Pray deeply. Get down there low before Him. In humility before Him. Telling God, I know that I'm not worthy and I know that I'm not this and I know that I'm not that, but God, I need You. Amen. Because I'm in a desperate time and I desperately want to go to heaven. And the enemy's working hard in every way that he can to keep that from happening in every one of us. We need the Holy Spirit to give us insight to who and what we really are. To where we really are along life's way as we endeavor to live for the Lord. God is at a deep level, folks. And we need to be at a deep level too. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever felt it, that God just wasn't there. He wasn't with us. Sometimes it's because we're not with Him. It's because we haven't made our proper petition and communion with the Lord and our fellowship with the Lord. The cares of life, the things of the world that we take in sometimes, that could cause that to happen. And it can break our communion and our fellowship with Him. We need to, I believe praying deeply is something that must be developed, worked on over time. That we can get right down in God's level and God can get down on our level. Talking about the things that we're really burdened about. The things that we're really concerned about. Praying deeply. You know, we had a young brother stand up in our congregation not long ago talking about when he tells his children to do things, they go off to do it and they come back and say, I forgot what you told me. They don't listen. Do we listen? He said, as a parent, that's quite frustrating when he tells his children to do something and he knows they're not listening. So he kind of holds them. He said, look me right in the eye and listen to what I'm saying to you. And when I finish, you go do what I tell you to do. Folks, let's look God right in the eye. Tell Him what our deepest burdens, deepest concerns are. Do you know the Lord probably can be just as frustrated with us as we are with our little children sometimes? Because the Lord wants our attention. He wants your attention. He wants your love. He wants your communion. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants us to remember what His Son did for us. He wants us to remember those things. He wants those things to be important for us. And then I turn to Jesus in the garden again. I spoke of it last night in His prayer. Our Father. My Father. He called Him His Father. We call Him our Father. He said, if it's possible, let it pass. If it's possible. I don't want to drink this cup of wrath. Is it really necessary that I drink this cup of wrath? This cup of sin? But the other scripture says, for the joy that was set before Him, didn't it? He endured the cross, despising the shame. He did it for us, folks. He did it for you and He did it for me. And He went out there with the disciples sleeping and prayed three times till He got the victory. He got the victory and He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I. Oh, folks, you talk about praying deeply. I believe He was praying deeply. I believe He was pouring His very soul out there before His Father. He was at a desperate time. You ever been at a desperate time? You ever been in those places? Yeah, I see a lot of heads shaking. I hear a lot of people saying yes. You've been there. Life's not easy. It's a struggle in this world. I know that. Seems like even the little things that you go to do is a struggle. But folks, we have a Heavenly Father that cares about us. But not just the superficial things. Not, Lord, I need my car fixed. I need this. But Lord, I want You to look down in my soul and show me who I really am. Some people are afraid to do that. I want You to look down in my soul and show me. Do you know, I don't see any point in starting out this way to heaven and come to a place where God shows me something and I throw up my hands and say, I can't do that. And it cost me my soul. I don't see any point in that. If you're not willing to give it all, if you're like the young man that came, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Folks, it isn't about what we can do to inherit anything. We can't do it in our works that's going to inherit eternal life. It's the grace and the mercy of God upon every one of us that we'll ever have the opportunity to see inside of God's heaven. So while we're here, and while we're in these frail bodies, we need to call on the Lord. We need to pray deeply. We need to make our petitions to Him. Just like Jesus did. At the time of His worst suffering, He cried out to God. Don't pray from your heart. Pray from your soul. Pray from your soul. Think about the story of Martha and Mary. When Mary had the opportunity to hear what Jesus had to say, she sat at His feet. She knew that Jesus had to eat and everybody else had to eat, but what was more important? It was hearing what the words that Jesus had to say, wasn't it? That's what was important. Saints, what's important to us tonight? We're being challenged on every hand. Righteousness and unrighteousness. Just because the laws of the land say that it's legal to do something doesn't mean it's legal in God's eyes. It doesn't mean it's right in God's eyes. God's got a law. He's got a limit. I don't wear the things that I used to wear. I don't go the places I used to go, the sister sang. And the attitude that I used to have, I don't have it anymore. Some people still struggle with toots. We struggle with toots. When does the devil come and challenge you the greatest? When you're tired? When you're weary?
Yeah.
Patience gets pretty thin sometimes, doesn't it? You know, I believe the Lord can help us there too.
Amen.
I believe the Lord can help us there too. If we learn how to pray deeply and come into His presence with thanksgiving and with the knowledge and understanding that He's God and we're man and we desperately need Him. I want to read this in closing tonight in 1 Thessalonians. Brother quoted it last night, but I'm going to read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. We're busy. People are busy in life. And we can't always get down on our knees during the day to pray. But folks, I believe you can have an attitude of prayer. I believe that when as our thought. We have thoughts processes every day. And I believe in our thoughts there should be prayers. You know, you've heard me probably in years past talk about the red lights. Red lights, and I don't get along very good. Seems like every time I come to a traffic light, it turns red on me. I get a little frustrated. My wife said, that's the perfect time for you to pray for somebody that's in need. Because you know a lot of people. You get a lot of calls, and you know a lot of people that are in need. Folks, there's times we could be praying instead of murmuring and complaining. She taught me a lesson there. I still don't like red lights, but I know it's a time to pray. It's a time and an opportunity that I could just whisper. What did the little song say when we were children? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. And keep your heart in tune. Because why? Jesus may come in the morning. And He may come at noon. And He may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. How are you going to keep your heart in tune, folks? You've got to keep your mind and your thoughts upon God. Upon Him. That will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on Him. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, if you don't abstain from all appearance of evil, your prayers aren't going to go very far. If we override our will and our conscience and the convictions that God has put on our hearts, prayers ain't going to go very far. Because first we're going to have to pray for ourselves. We're going to have to pray for ourselves. Now, we say saints are praying people. I depend on you for your prayers. Sister told me last night she was praying for me. I said, thank the Lord, I need it. I'm a pitiful creature, and I need prayer, and I need the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. We need each other, brother. We need to be able to pray for one another. When you call on me and I get those calls in the middle of the night, you folks down here never call up, but I get them in the middle of the night. I need prayer. Someone's suffering. Someone's in need. It's not time to fall out of bed and I got to pray for myself because I went to bed and I wasn't getting along with my wife when I got to bed. But it's time to keep things clear between me and God that when I fall out of bed, that I can pray for the one that's in trouble. And really get a hold of God in their behalf. You know what? Have you ever been woke up in the middle of the night like that for prayer? You just jump out of bed and start praying to you? I remember one time, she answered the phone, got the phone call. So-and-so, she hung up and said, so-and-so needs prayer. And I just lay there for a few seconds. She says, hit the floor, Buster. They need prayer now. That's exactly what she said. They need prayer now. So Buster hit the floor and started praying. Because they needed prayer. See, prayer is important to us, isn't it? But can we pray a little deeper? A little more solemn? Have more power with God in our prayers? Make our petitions known to Him in a greater way? Let Him know how much we love Him, how much we reverence Him, how much we care for Him. I think we can, saints. I think we can. When I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Oh, I pray that He will find faith among His people. I'd like to read you something and before I sit down. Someone sent this to me several years back, and I kept it. It's an unknown Confederate soldier's prayer. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. May God help us tonight, saints. Keep digging. The old fellow in the Bible. Oh, I didn't finish the last one. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I am among all men most richly blessed. We're blessed people. We're blessed people. All because we have God. All because we have God. We're blessed people. So let's take this under consideration as we go along our way and consider how we present ourselves before God in prayer. One of my favorite songs in our book says, Savior, Thou art life to me. Guard me by Thy watchful eye. Ever by Thy Spirit be Thou a guide to worlds on high. Hide me from the storms of life. We can feel this, can't we? We can feel this. We've been there. We know what this, we know this author here has been through something, and we've been through it too. And it rings true in our hearts. Hide me from the storms of life. Keep me from the tempter's snare. And while here, mid toil and strife, let me cast on Thee my care. Help me, Lord, to faithful be. Give me grace to do Thy will. That through all eternity, holy love, my soul may thrill. Teach me from Thy blessed word, lessons precious to my soul. Help me understand it, Lord. By it, make and keep me whole. Oh, Thou art my refuge here. All my hopes are built on Thee. From all sin and slavish fear, Jesus makes me fully free. So when all my toils are over, and it's coming, let me gain that blessed abode, and with loved ones gone before, ever dwell with Thee, my God. I want to point out, not one of those things that He asked for was for anything in the natural. He asked for spiritual blessings. Lord, help us. We get sometimes in a rut, and we're asking for this, and we're asking for that, and we should be asking for the things that will bless our souls. Pray for me that I'll be faithful.